Welcome to my Plant Medicine Journey podcast. This is your host, Daniel Rios Romero. And before we get started, I have an announcement. I'm going to be hanging out in San Diego December 8th through the 10th, hosting my last retreat of the year in San Diego, California. So if you're listening to this and you want to learn more, go to myplantmedicinejourney.com and you can get a hold of me there. Alrighty, friends, thank you for tuning in. I have a very exciting episode I've been trying to record here for a couple months now. I'm getting the opportunity to interview my brother Omar. So welcome, Omar, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny. Thank you for having me.
And this show is all about people sharing their plant medicine journeys, and I had the opportunity to bring my brother into this world about a year, 8 months ago, something like that, when Ida and I got married, and we did something like that.
Yes.
So we did a little mushroom ceremony where we did a microdose and some sound healing, and that was his first connection with psilocybin. And anyways, but we'll talk more and more. But yeah, to me, it's been something that I've been wanting to do is introduce my family to this world. And my brother was the first taker. So for me, it was a privilege to be sharing the container of ceremony and just introducing him to this world that I've been diving into for a couple years. Showing my big brother a few things here and there. So that's been super cool to share that. But yeah, bro, if you can tell a little bit about, a little bit to the audience about you, who you are, what you do, so they get an idea, so they can paint a picture about you.
Sure, sure. So, originally born in Mexico, in Oaxaca, a town about, same town as you, a town about 2.5 hours away from the capital city, and our family moved to the U.S. when I was 11. I think the year was 96, if I remember correctly. And grew up in San Diego, California since. That's been home for 20-something odd years. Yeah, pretty much became our hometown, like I said. Went to junior high school there, college. Got a degree in business. Have been working in business for about 15 years now, I think, and now I'm a financial analyst for an American corporation, so it's what you will call a typical job, 9-to-5, until COVID, that is, and then, of course, all that changed, us working from home since, but yeah, that's my background on the education and professional side. And I think that's a good start for now.
Very cool. And yeah, I mean, I imagine there's going to be a lot there that we're going to come back to and chat about. But I'd love for people to understand a little bit about how you came about plant medicine. You know, for me, it was telling my family, like, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to quit my job and pursue this work of working with people in plant medicine. And that's when I started telling more my brother about my work. And we started having more connections like, hey, I'm interested. And it took some time before we stepped into the container, but what has been your development to, working with, plant medicine as a form of, you know, therapy or whatever, how it ever landed for you. But yeah, how has that been for you? How did you come about that?
Yeah, so I think similar to a lot of people in the general population, you hear things about psychedelics and pros, cons. The cons seem to be very extreme at the surface level. You hear stories about people just kind of staying on the trip with a negative connotation about that, and having psychosis and jumping off windows and that sort of stuff. That was kind of like my earliest recollection about psychedelics. You know, and this is a long time ago. So growing up, just becoming more knowledgeable and more curious about things in general, I started to find out more about it. And I think I first became more aware of that sort of world about 10 years ago, I would say. And within two or three years from that, I learned quite more, to the point where I knew that some of the stuff that had been said about psychedelics was essentially made up. And I became very curious about it. And I really, I was really hopeful that one time, that at some point I would get the chance to experiment that. But like most people, those fears kind of came to the forefront, right? And thinking about, well, what if, even though I knew that most of it was made up, I would say, like, what if it's bad for me? What if I get poisoned? What if I do have some negative side effects that I can't get rid of, and I won't let me function correctly at my job as a family member and all those things? And so the years went on, and I thought, well, I became even more curious about it. And coincidentally, right around that time is when I heard that you were in that sort of space, first as a consumer, if you will, a user, and then later you took on the role of a guide, a mentor, and so for me it made it pretty easy, right? Because I knew I could trust you. I knew you wouldn't give me anything that would be bad for me, and so that got rid of what is the obstacle for most people.
You had no choice now. You have to do it.
So, I really didn't have an excuse not to do it anymore because I knew it was safe. I knew you had been doing it for a while and you were obviously fine and functional and, you know, happy.
For the most part.
And so, then I knew that I would eventually. And before my first experience at your wedding, I think it was a couple of days before the actual wedding ceremony, you had that psilocybin ceremony, and but before then, you and I had spoken maybe even a couple of years before that about doing it. But you traveling and just going about life, and me doing the same, just kind of didn't work out for one reason or another. And so, knowing that there was going to be that microdose in that ceremony during your wedding, I felt it was the perfect time for it. Especially being in Oaxaca City, that has such a mysticism about it, I thought, well, this is the time. And I was very excited about it. I really didn't have any nervousness. Before the ceremony, of course, there were a lot of people that were invited to your wedding in the ceremony, and so meeting some of them was pretty nice. Knowing that some of them were in the same space gave me peace of mind, right? And so, yeah, that was my first exposure to it, and it went very well.
What was that like? It was half a gram is what I think we... quarter to a half is what we dosed most people that day.
Yeah, I think you're right. And well, that with the sound therapy definitely was a good experience. I definitely had, we had it in hibiscus tea, is that right?
Yeah,
hibiscus tea. And so, essentially we drank that tea with mushrooms, grinded mushrooms in it. And then we started the ceremony. And I would say within about 10 minutes, I started to feel something. The way I like to describe it is, you know, at the end of the night, before going to bed, when you first kind of start closing your eyes.
That's a good description.
And you close your eyes and you kind of visualize what you did that day. Mm-hmm. You kind of picture yourself, you know, at the gas station. You can see that, or see yourself hanging out at your backyard, or if you want to visit a friend or a family member, you can kind of see that. And so I started to have visuals like that, except it was things that I hadn't done. So so that's a big difference there. And so, yeah, it was just glimpses of images. And then I started to see patterns and some colors starting to come about. And I could, as time went on, I could start to feel emotions come up of happiness, some sadness, but very mild, mostly because I think the dose was on the smaller side, of course, being a microdose. But yeah, I remember having at some point some pretty vivid visuals of geometric patterns and landscapes, but nothing that ever got at hand. Nothing that ever made me feel overwhelmed or anything negative, really. But I thought it was very, very cool. I had never experienced anything like that.
And there was a gong being played, and the gong with mushrooms is
something else. And not just the gong, right? Other instruments, and mm-hmm. I probably couldn't tell you the name of those instruments, but...
it was mostly a gong and some chimes, yeah.
Yeah, some chimes and maybe one or two other things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's funny because the gong would play the role of some sort of pivot. Right. Mm-hmm. The way the gong was played or the technique that was used to bang it would kind of pivot your visuals into a different mode or your emotions into a different mode. And so it was very interesting to experiment that for the first time. And because it was a microdose, it didn't last very long. I want to say it was probably an hour, maybe a little more. And I mean, you could definitely feel it after the ceremony was over, you know, here and there, very mildly. But yeah, it was very interesting, and just having that experience confirmed that I wanted to explore that world even more. And so yeah, I walked away pretty happy. I shared some of my moments during that experience with family members and friends, with you. It was great overall. And so that's how I got started.
Got it. And from, we'll talk about, soon after that, I launched my first ceremony in San Diego. And you were part, I believe, of the first one that I did as like, hey, this is the new thing that I'm doing. Full time. I had already been doing it, but this was like the first retreat. And for me, it was very special to have you in that, because that style of retreat I've been developing for a couple months at that time. And I've got an opportunity to take a couple people through, you know, a two-night event, working different disciplines, working different plant medicines in that experience. So for me, it was very special to have you there. Stepping into an actual container, you know, the first one was more like for fun, right? It was like, we're going to take a microdose, a bunch of friends, and we're going to walk around the streets of Oaxaca, go eat dinner. It was the intention gives a lot what the experience is. And so now that, you know, we've set up a container for a two-night experience where we work with tobacco, we work with gambo, psilocybin, and we work with cannabis. And so this is, I love this container because I take people to the deep end of plant medicine in like two nights, which is like, it took me years to like have those experiences. And so to be able to like pack it all together and for you to experience it, I was very, very excited. So going into, you know, you had that experience, you've been curious about plant medicine. Now the opportunity shows up literally at your door because he let me crash at his place while I was in San Diego. Like what was it for you going into this container?
Yeah, it was a lot of excitement, some nervousness, which I think is normal. because I think it's a very normal feeling to have of the unknown. Even though I was at that point,
pretty kind of new.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew a little bit.
I had that experience of the microdose, plus I had done some research and watched documentaries and read articles on that, and so
yeah. And when you hear about him being he's working in like finance and business, he's very logical, and that's something about my brother, that when people in my family need advice, they go to him because he'll like, you know, make you a list and give you all the pros and cons. So you know, from my experience, Omar is very logical. So for him to step into this for me was also pretty cool, because it's different, you know, than, because, you know, we're going to do a lot of things that aren't logical.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was a little nervous, but I felt pretty good overall. I was more excited than nervous, significantly. And so, yeah, we went ahead and you took us through the process that you put together to create this container, and it was great. I mean, aside from the medicines that you've mentioned, we also did some breath work and body movement, some very cool mental exercises, psychological exercises to just kind of get the juices flowing. And I think that's also very beneficial, because it gets you in a state of mind where you're just more aware about things that we often overlook, like just observing what's around us. Oftentimes we're too worried about work and you know, family responsibilities and to-do list and all that stuff, and we're not aware as well as we could about our surroundings, about our body. How do we feel? Is our body a little tight? Do we have, you know, a calf that's kind of bothering us? And those little things matter. Paying attention to some of those details kind of gets you into a different state of mind. And so
most people, you know, don't ever take the time in their life to, like, you know, assess things like that. You know, they'll assess their bank account, they'll assess like the goals and check boxes they want to accomplish, but sometimes those little simple things get they're big, because they're affecting your everyday life, and they come oftentimes from internal things too, which is crazy.
Yeah. And so that was one of the exercises you had us do. There was another exercise that you had us do that was essentially being able to tell the difference between what is a fact and what is our opinion. I think it was I imagine or something like that.
Yeah, how I like to describe that is how to get a better depiction of your reality. So, you know, oftentimes the way we describe things in our life distort reality. At times. And so by using just certain phrases, instead of saying I think, saying I imagine. And so we do exercises. People call this exercise authentic relating.
Yeah.
And they you know, it's, if we're going to be messing with a hallucinogen, we want to be able to come back and ground ourselves through our own words, and this helps us. And you know what's so funny about it, there's a lot of people that come and do this, like, very powerful experiences. Oftentimes, those exercises are the biggest takeaway.
I can see why. Yeah. I mean, for me, I found them very valuable. You know, talking to someone about my experience, I think I said something like, doing an exercise like this makes you realize some of the things that you just keep repeating that oftentimes are not true. And you just go about repeating them until you really think that that is the truth. For example, I think someone could easily say, well, I don't like to dance. And I think that it's really difficult to actually find a human that doesn't enjoy to dance. Mm-hmm. I think there's other things around that kind of keep a human from enjoying that. I mean, who hasn't tapped their foot to a beat, a rhythm?
Right? Yeah.
But maybe there's some apprehension there about what do I look like when I dance? People mm-hmm. are going to laugh at me. Those things can be very limiting in your life experience. And an exercise like the one you walked us through, I think, is very helpful in realizing, wow, like, is that really a fact or is that just what I think? Mm-hmm. And so until today, I still go through that exercise every now and then mm-hmm. because I'm thinking, is this really what I'm feeling? Is this really something I fear, you know? Mm-hmm. It could be blank thing, or is it something that I just don't understand, mm-hmm. or is it just the uncertainty of the outcome that makes me feel that way? And oftentimes, I realize it's not fear; it's the unknown mm-hmm. that kind of gives me restlessness. And so, working through some of those things has made a big difference in life, just because I don't go on an autopilot, at least not nearly as often as I used to, and I think as a lot of us do. I question.
Question,
and then that usually ends up in a better outcome mm-hmm. because you're not just going with the flow, you're not going with the status quo. You're actually thinking and feeling what is really going on with you and around you, and what that means, and sometimes that leads you to changes, and sometimes those are minor changes, but when you go through several of those, they add up to a big change in your life, and so mm-hmm. I've definitely enjoyed the benefits of that.
Yeah, and you know, something about doing those exercises and personal development, for me, spirituality and personal development, there's no difference. And personal development and spirituality alongside with plant medicine, there's no difference. they all enhance each other. They're all the same thing. They're just different. And so it's been my experience, and we can look into, you know, what happens through the brain connectivity, and especially with like psilocybin is a connector, right? It connects you to different things. When we do exercises like that around big experiences like that, we're able to have better results because we're feeding our conscious and our subconscious this new, it's like a software update in language, you know, and sometimes if you've been running a program for a long time, you know, like the old computers that you have to first erase it, then it's kind of like that in a way. It's what my experience has been, but so yeah, so we go through the exercises. First of all, how was it for you to step into ceremony, right? Because that's, you know, I think the ceremonies you knew before were maybe from Catholicism, or I don't know, other types of things. But how was it for you to step into like a container like this, just in general?
Yeah, it was definitely a first for me because, like you said, I'm very logical, or at least I was a lot more before getting into this space. And so ceremonies of any sort really seemed something, you could say unnecessary, something that I didn't really connect with. I'm not really religious. I don't subscribe to any religion. I grew up Catholic, like, most Mexican people, most Latin American people. But it's more cultural than religious. So I felt a bit odd. Some of those things felt unnatural. Once the ceremony got going, I definitely started to connect with something that I hadn't been aware of before. And especially once I started to feel the effects of the mushrooms, I realized that I was definitely in for something I could not anticipate. It really did a lot of things in a very short period of time. I mean, I think the The most heavy effects of the mushrooms lasted maybe about 5 or 6 hours. Within the first 1 or 2 hours, my life had changed just because I realized so many things.
What did you realize?
One of them is, I couldn't believe something like this existed. It's hard to describe what it is. It really, there are no words. Our language is too limited to describe an experience like this. It's a feeling of joy, of some sadness, some sorrow. If you need to connect with that, the mushrooms will help you connect with that. And it's usually because it's something that you haven't quite worked out. It's something that's kind of bottled inside you. And so, so they will take you down that road, but in a loving way. And, but yeah, for me, the first thing was just shock. I could not believe that something like this existed. Just the visuals I was getting, the feeling in my body. I was really shocked by it. And then it really showed me that I knew a lot less than I thought I knew. Mm-hmm. I think that's very common probably that, you know, we get a formal education and we think, well, I'm ready to go out into the world and be a professional. And, you know, if you keep up with current events and read a little, and it's easy for you to feel like you know it all. And knowing that something like this existed and I knew nothing about it made me feel like I knew nothing about life.
And I still feel the same way. I know nothing.
In many ways, I still do. So yeah. So that definitely, you know, beat up my ego pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, I had been pretty harsh on people that were very religious. And I felt that they're... the way that they were so spiritual about their life made no sense, because being more logical, I would say that doesn't make sense. You know, mm-hmm.
Logical makes sense.
Right. And it does. Logic's still valid, but there's an entire branch of life that's not logical. Mm-hmm. And feelings are not logical. Mm-hmm. What we experience in different aspects of life is not logical. Mm-hmm. For example, you can work very hard and still get laid off from your job. That's not logical. Mm-hmm. And we struggle to understand those sort of things when they happen to us. So that really made an impact in me. For example, I immediately gained more respect for people that were religious because now I understood that it was very possible for them to feel something that I just couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't feel that way doesn't mean that they don't, that they feel the same way. Mm-hmm. If I can feel the way I felt about mushrooms, if they feel a small percentage of what I felt in mushrooms, then their spiritual ways are definitely valid.
What did you feel? What was happening through you that made you shift?
Well, there were periods of time where I felt like I was traveling in space. I literally, you know, saw myself traveling in space. It was like being in a simulator of sorts, just looking at the stars, looking at planets. And then from one moment to another, just be in a beautiful landscape that I'd never seen, right, with at a beachfront. And I could hear the waves crashing, and I could feel the wind in my face. I felt a lot of happiness. I felt emotional at times. At that point, I was going through divorce, and so there were a lot of things that I thought I had sorted out already that the mushrooms kind of showed me that I hadn't. Mm-hmm. And they helped me connect with that, and they helped me let go of a lot of things. And I was worried about what may happen in the future, and I got a lot of peace of mind. I got a lot of peace of mind because the way the mushrooms helped me realize that there's just some things that I'm not under control, and worrying about them and spending all my time and energy thinking about them and trying to mitigate them somehow, it can be very useless. It definitely has more harm than good to worry about the things that we don't have control of. I mean, I think it's good to maybe have some sort of plan to mitigate them, but that's about the extent of it. I think that once you realize that what you don't control, you should just let go of, and you know, just kind of be ready to deal with it if it does come up. But yeah, for me, that was wearing me down mm-hmm. a lot, and just letting go of that stuff made a whole lot of difference in my life. And not just related to divorce, but family relationships. The relationship with my dad improved quite a lot because I just learned to respect his point of view more, because we used to crash when it came to our different point of views. And so
yeah, it sounds like you got a big lessons on empathy.
Yeah, empathy and understanding, and also just taking care of myself a bit better, right? What did I gain about getting angry about something I had no control of? Some of those things are simply just never going to change, and so it's better to accept them and deal with them in the best way that I can. On what I can't control, because I can't control what another person thinks. I mean, it sounds so simple, but I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say like, why can't he do this? Why can't she say that? And the reason is it's because they're their own person and they have different points of views, and maybe they don't use logic in the same way. Or maybe their priorities are just different.
Or maybe they just haven't had mushrooms.
That too. For sure. And but yeah, so you know, those are some of the benefits. But really, overall, I dare to say that my life improved in just about every possible way. I think my some of the teachings I got from that first ceremony just. I think they showed improvements in my life in just about every area. I started to take better care of my body. My mood was better for the most part. My relationships with friends, with family were much better. And so it's just hard to think of anything negative that came about. And some lessons were immediate, and some of them kind of came in time.
You'll notice, like, in 4 years, you'll be like, oh, there's that lesson.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, I still have those moments. And so another way I try to describe it to somebody, think about a cloud in the sky. If you just take a look up into the sky and you see a cloud, it looks static. It looks like there's not much going on. But if you look up 20 minutes later, that cloud looks completely different, or it's not even in the same spot anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's been my experience, where some changes happen immediately, but maybe not as noticeable. But if I take a look back at myself from that first ceremony to now, there's been a good amount of changes, mm-hmm. and for the best. And so, yeah, in a way, I'm that cloud that has completely shifted from where it used to be, and it looks a lot different. Yeah, it's been great overall.
And you did something that I did when I started my plant medicine journey, and I hit it hard. I was having multiple mushroom ceremonies. I found how much it was helping me out. And I just continued, you know, being curious about, like, what's huachuma, what's peyote, what's this, what's that. And I've noticed, like, you know, you did a couple ceremonies with me after we've done, I lost count. you know, we've done hikes, we've done a bunch of different activities around plant medicine, another just playful, you know, going out dancing and doing things of that nature. And you know, there's no right or wrong way about going about this. You know, it's for some people, sometimes they have an experience and wait multiple years or never have another one again. And it was very profound. So this is really what a lot of this project is about, is just like Omar described, like people have come from different backgrounds. Your plant medicine journey is going to be unique to you, right? Like it's going to be unique to where you're going, what's happening on with your life at that moment, and whatnot. So, from that experience, how has the rest unfolded for you? What has kept you like coming back to sit in ceremony? Like, I know you invited some of your buddies here to Oaxaca and we did a ceremony for them. You know, I've gone to San Diego and done ceremonies there. You've gone and done other types of plant medicine and retreats, and I mean, you're hanging out with me, so you're kind of always around it. Yeah. But yeah, overall, what, how has your development in this space been, going from, you know, just a short time ago, you had no awareness to it, to like, holy crap, there's so much I didn't know that I didn't know. And, but yeah, how has been your evolution in this space?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've had four ceremonies, maybe three full ceremonies with all the prep work and all that stuff. Maybe one that was a little less so, but and then maybe another five or six microdoses. And this is all with mushrooms. And each of them has been different. The microdoses and the full ceremonies, you get different takeaways. In my experience, every time. And they're all beautiful. They're all meaningful. They're all they all produce positive results, I think. Some of them can be more physical than others, where you feel the effect of the mushrooms in your body more than in your mind sometimes. And sometimes you get a lot of visuals. Sometimes they're more patterns, shapes, geometric shapes. Sometimes they're landscapes. For some people, I haven't had that experience, but for some people, it's like being in a play of your own life, being in a movie of your own life. The rest of the cast are people in your life, your family members, your coworkers, your whatever that might be. But yeah, I've had different lessons come to me about just being better with being more okay with myself and those around me, understanding different points of view, letting go of apprehension, and so it every time it's different, but every time it's beautiful. And then yeah, I've also worked with peyote recently. And which has mescaline as the psychedelic molecule, and I've worked with changa, which has DMT, which is the same as what you find in ayahuasca. And one thing I realize is they all come from the same source, whatever that source might be. You can call it God, you can call it the universe, you can call it life. But it's pretty clear that they're all connected, and they all have a healing power in their own way. Some of them may show you different types of love, but it's love nonetheless.
Sometimes there's tough love.
it is. And sometimes you need to get rattled a bit and thrown around a bit, so to speak, to heal. To be able to understand life better, to have more empathy for those around you, for people in general, for animals, for creatures. I've definitely had those moments where of oneness, right? Where you come to that realization that we're all part of life. I remember during my changa ceremony that This voice kept repeating, saying the words, all of us are all of it. And and that felt really good. It really made me connect with everything around me.
I'd like to add one more to that. All of me.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's like, you know, we're the universe is not something that's out there. We are part of the universe. We are the universe. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that means to each of us, but it's true regardless of your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, even if you want to be very logical, we're made of the same building particles, you know, the same proton, electrons, and neutrons that exist, you know, so...
If you look at
and that looks like a little planet when I've seen it in books. Haven't seen it in real life yet. Maybe in a psychedelic experience, but who knows?
The scientific facts back that up, right? If you look at a list of the most abundant elements in the universe, they essentially match what we're made up of. Mm. So we're not just... magical goo of stuff that just appears suddenly. We are the universe. You know, literally, stars had to die and explode to create the particles that we're made of: carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and so and everything else. And so, we're all part of it, and so. It just gives you kind of like, it pushes a reset button about life. I was jaded before. I think I was quite a bit cynical about life. And now I've connected with an entire side of myself that I didn't even know existed. And so I'm more empathetic. I found peace, I think. I feel like I'm in a very good spot in life, and I don't think I would have achieved that without working with plant medicine, or at least not in this short period of time.
Because you've done traditional therapy.
Yes.
And, you know, it's been my experience that working with a lot of people that have done therapy, it's helpful, and it has its limits, you know, especially... for example, a therapist can give you a hug,
exactly.
Cross transference, right? They won't go there. It's against.
Yeah. It's the unethical.
Rules, unethical.
Yeah. If you will. Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things that, this spaces can really like help break through, a lot of that stuckness. And, you know, you mentioned some big lessons in empathy and connection to yourself, connection to everybody. I'd love to hear some of your highlights from some of your experiences that, you know, either you and I have done together, the ones you've done on your own. Like, what are some of the other lessons or highlights that you remember from your plant medicine journey thus far?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the highlights for me was in ceremony and sharing that space with other people. It's just kind of being able to experiment what they went through, and also seeing you work with them. I thought that was very interesting. I thought it was very beautiful. It was very valuable for me. I've seen people have difficult moments where they don't quite understand what they're going through, what they're feeling. And I've seen you work with them. I've seen you maybe pull them aside and go into a separate room and try to make sense of what they're feeling. And you've done that with me. And I think the work you do is very valuable because of that. Because some of this stuff can be... hard to comprehend because you really don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So you could be going into the ceremony thinking that, you know, let's say a loved one passed away recently and that you want to connect with them. You may, and you may not at all. And something else might show up.
And or you may not in the way that you want to.
Right. And making sense of that can be somewhat difficult if you don't have somebody to help you, somebody to guide you with that. And that's why I think the work that you do is so valuable, because you're able to kind of bring it down and simplify it so that it makes sense, and so we can integrate it into our lives and just get the most out of it. You know, I've heard a couple of stories from a few people that, you know, I went to this concert and, you know, I've had 6 beers and then I put some mushrooms into my mouth and yeah, I felt something, I saw some things, but it was nothing meaningful. Well, a lot of that is because there's no intention behind it, because you're in the wrong container, the wrong space, because there's nobody guiding you through what you're doing. You're in a public place with thousands of more people, and the medicine just won't have the same effects in that sort of space, because it's just not the right setting. Mm-hmm. A setting like the one you put together, and other guides I've heard of, is more geared towards really connecting with the mushrooms in the most powerful way, I would say. And so, yeah, I mean, that's one of the highlights of my experience. And I remember in the first ceremony, the first time I took the blindfolds off and I went up to you, I told you, I can't believe this is possible. I can't believe this exists. It's beautiful beyond description. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, you know, why isn't this known better? Mm-hmm. Why are we being kept from this? It's so beautiful, so healing, so powerful. And so, yeah, and you told me, yeah, this is why I do what I do, and it made so much sense. That's definitely been one of my highlights of my experience.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, because it's a lot of people approach this with fear, because that's what we've been fed. But when you realize that, literally, it's all love.
It is.
Like, and the medicine connects you to that, you know, it's like, we're sad because, you know, we've lost something that we love. We get upset because we didn't get something we love or whatever, how that may show up. Right. It's always been my experience that it is love, you know, everything on the other side of it, it's going to be love. And when we approach it that way, you know, if our intention is for things to be love, that's what we can produce. And yeah, because for me, like, intention becomes everything, you know, and it just happens that the medicine can connect you to all of that. And so you've described, you know, the analogy about the cloud, right? Like, cloud was here, you looked away, you look up, a whole different cloud. You've mentioned, some of the things that you've gotten from it. And, you know, I don't know if you've taken, like, I look at your life now and it's completely different than the brother Omar that I know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you used to be somebody who was like really close to the family, like never really, left San Diego too much, kind of grounded to what I would say is like a very traditional Mexican style of family. Be close to the family, get married, do the house thing, da da da. And now you're like, I can keep up with you. You're traveling all over the place. You're here, you're there. I see you having a lot of fun and really enjoying yourself. It's what I've seen from the outside world. But yeah, if you could describe a little bit more of how the cloud used to look to how the cloud is now, if you want to share, like how's the cloud transformed?
Yeah. So I just had this conversation with somebody I just met. Her name's Stephanie, and we had this very beautiful conversation, really. And it shows in different ways. Some of them are pretty obvious. Some of them are not. For example, I had what you would call a traditional American or Mexican American lifestyle, right? I had a job. I still do. But I just thought that some of the things I was doing were just the right things to do. For example, I would have a very normal haircut, if you will. Just always kept it nice and tight, short. Because I wanted to be presentable. I wanted to look okay at work. I wanted to look okay going to a restaurant, and whatever okay meant. But then, you know, then I realized that I shouldn't care so much about what people think about me. I should care more about what makes me feel good. If it doesn't get in the way of other people's happiness and I'm not hurting anybody, there's no reason why I shouldn't do that. And so I started to let my hair grow. And it was a lot of fun. It was fun to see people's reaction, because I used to have a short haircut most of the time, running into people and them realizing that I had curly hair kind of made their head explode a little bit, you know, and they would get those comments like, "What? You have curly hair? I had no idea."
Did you tell them it was straight and then you had mushrooms? I'm just kidding. That's not one of the...
No, that's not one of the effects.
Don't have mushrooms to get curly hair.
Yeah, you won't look like Bob Ross, I promise. Yeah. But yeah, like something like that. It looks simple, but it was just freeing to do that and not care so much about what people think. I mean, my hair can be, because it is curly and because it is somewhat long, some people may consider that messy, but I really enjoy wearing my hair like that. And, you know, I don't really do anything to it. It just does its thing, and it was liberating. So from something as simple as that, as, you know, being more comfortable trying new things.
Mm-hmm. When Burning Man.
Yeah, Burning Man. you know, what more extreme from the conventional world than that, right? That's mm-hmm. just a counterculture event that is just tons of fun. I think it's a life-changing experience going to an event like that, and it was a lot of fun, despite some of the setbacks that really weren't setbacks. They were just a different type of fun when you look back. So those sort of things, trying new things in general has been great. You know, I've been more into yoga now, and I love it. You know, it makes my body feel good. I've been exercising more, and my body feels better than it's probably felt ever. Mm-hmm. And I play sports in school and whatnot, and so. But I just approach it in a much different way. You know, it's not for competition. It's not to hang out with friends. It's just for me. Mm-hmm. And I go with the flow of what my body feels. And so that's been great. You know, going to things like an ecstatic dance, that can be a lot of fun. Just randomly walking out the door and going for a 1 hour walk without really having a plan in mind, not knowing that I'm going to do an hour, just walking, and next thing you know, you walk for an hour, and you know, by yourself with no real plan or intention, just feels nice to do things without a strict purpose. And so those sort of things have been very transformative. Just having a fresh take on life has been very cool.
So, sounds like a new, like, found freedom, like from letting your hair grow to just like having the freedom to like, I'm just going to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm still a functional adult. I mean, it's, you know, I'm still very responsible about work, and I'm still a good brother and a good child to my parents and a good friend to my friends. And so
a little more absent, he's traveling a lot more, but
yeah, responsibly too, you know. It's not like I just fall off the face of the earth. So So yeah, all those things have been just very fulfilling, and my life experience has expanded significantly over this time. And I feel like there's still a lot more to do. I think there's still a lot more to explore, and just more room to even be better with myself and for those around me, my surroundings, with life in general. So I'm in a good spot, but I'm excited about what's ahead, because I think it's even better.
Very cool. Now that you're deeper in this space, you've messed around with a few things here and there. Any culture, any type of ceremony, any type of plant medicine that you're curious of stepping into?
Yeah. Well, you and I have spoken about possibly working with ayahuasca in the future, and that's definitely something I look forward to. We've had two different looks at it, two different times, and it just hasn't worked out for whatever reason, right? Either on my side or on the side of the administrators and guides, and so. But when it comes to these things, I think it's good to understand that there's no rush. Mm. There's really no formula that you can apply as to, like, well, you got to do this month, and in 4 months do this. I mean, it doesn't work out like that. You really have to be conscious of where you are in life and what is the medicine telling you. What is it showing you? There's absolutely no need to rush that sort of stuff. And so maybe that's the one medicine that I'm very curious and excited to work with in the future. I know there are others that are out there. But I because I'm in such a good spot, I don't feel the urgent need to run into something. So for me, it's just more about when the right opportunity comes about, then I usually try to take advantage of it. And if I feel the calling, if I don't feel the calling, then I just let it be. That's one thing that I think if somebody listening to this wonders about, well, now I'm going to want to have mushrooms all the time. It's not like that at all. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had access to them many, many times, and never have I felt the need to, like, oh, well, let me just throw some in right now and kind of listen to music and party. No, like, I've never felt the need. There's no addiction that comes from this, and there are really no negative side effects. I mean, the craziest side effect that you can possibly experience is probably that you're going to be a more loving person and more fun to be around. And all those things that derive from that. So
be careful, you may enjoy life more.
exactly. It's like those signs on cigarettes, right? but all positive, of course. And to answer your question, yeah, that would be it. I mean, ayahuasca seems like the next step, but of course it'll happen when the right time comes, and I'll approach it with a lot of respect, a lot of love, because that's what plant medicine is. And I mean, it's the other thing I want to add, just to make sure, because to me this is very important that people understand that it's called plant medicine for a reason. I mean, it's part of nature, and it's been around humanity for forever, essentially. As long as humans have been around, plant medicine has been around. It's natural. It's not something that can harm us. It's something that we evolve with as a species. And it's not until recent times that has been stripped away from us. And my hope is that we'll get to a spot as a species where it's embraced.
Normal.
Right, just a normal side of life. And and that modern medicine realizes, and I think we're getting to that point, how beneficial it can be. You know, that you have, there's a lot of information out there that wasn't there 5 years ago, 10 years ago, documentaries, articles, peer review articles, university research done on some of these substances. And I mean, it's pretty unanimous, you know, a lot to upside, almost no downside. And so it's just something that I think we're in a period of history where that shift is happening, and hopefully going forward, it becomes normalized, and you know, I dream of the day that we can walk into a doctor's office and a doctor can prescribe us some psilocybin, mm-hmm. you know, and say, you know, I'm a doctor expert in plant medicine, and here's what I recommend you work with, instead of giving you antidepressants and, you know, all these things that can be addictive, and that can harm your body. I was talking to a friend recently who's a doctor, and he mm-hmm. said, can you imagine if you talk to a doctor 200 years from now and you tell them that in medical school and in your profession, you never work with psychedelics to heal people, and they laugh at you how silly you are. It'd be kind of like the equivalent of a doctor 300 years ago, right? And how they would just get people drunk to chop off their arms, you know, like that sort of stuff. That's how rudimentary today's medicine would look to mm-hmm. To somebody in the future if that is the case, if plant medicine gets adopted as one of the main ways to treat people, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to psychological issues, to childhood trauma, family trauma. It has a tremendous power to heal, to expand consciousness, awareness. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for becoming an advocate. And, you know, I know that only happens because you've had such a positive experience working with the substances. But, yeah, thank you for sharing. I know you got a boogie soon. My bro is heading down the coast of Oaxaca. He's enjoying his time here. But yeah, any last message I'd like to leave to the listeners? Yeah, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, nothing too revealing, I guess. It's just a little more of the same. If you're curious about this sort of stuff, do more research, find out more. I think the more you find out, the more you'll realize that this is a beautiful space, a beautiful branch of life that's very much unexplored by most humans. There's really no harm that can come of it. Essentially, only good can come of it. There's experts out there. I think this is we're in a period of time where we might experience a boom in this sort of space, and there's experts out there like you that are happy to answer people's questions. If you have any fears, if you're curious, reach out. Find out more. I know that one of the things you do is when somebody reaches out to you, you schedule a call just to see where they are, see what kind of questions they have. And for those that are curious about it, take advantage of that. And you know, one thing I can say is that if you do give this a shot, you won't regret it. It will have positive effects on you. For some people, one experience is all they need to change their life for the best. Some people need more work, need more time, need different experiences, different exposures to different medicines. It's just something beautiful, and I just wish more people got a chance to enjoy it.
Aho. Thank you, bro. Well, aho. Thank you for trusting me to give you the mushies and all the fun stuff. And thank you for being in the podcast. I know what you share is going to be very, very relatable to a lot of people. Because a lot of what you shared, it was also my experience. So
yeah.
So thank you for letting us in into your world.
No, thank you. I appreciate everything you've done to guide me through this world. It's been an amazing experience, and I hope we get to do this some other time again.
We will, bro. Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.